On Robin Hood Radio, we have, of course, almost, we're actually a year into it because, as we found out, COVID came to our shores, our country, sometime in December. But we're actively, once again, going through a different phase of COVID and COVID-19. And we are concerned about testing, yes. We have testing here every Monday, by the way, in Kent that is open to the general public. And also, it seems like every week there's another site that has various testing. But I think what we're all talking about now is testing and then vaccinations. So let's bring in Dr. Mark Herko from the Sharon Hospital. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
I am absolutely fine. I stay away from watching TV is what I do. That makes your life a whole lot better.
That's right.
So now, you know, when we first started talking about COVID-19 almost a year ago, it was the spread. It was everything was being learned on a week-by-week basis, and there was a lot of concern. Then it shifted to, once again, the different ways you can contract it, and then, of course, more importantly, how not to contact it. And there were shutdowns, and there's this and that. We at least now we're talking about vaccinations, and also we're talking about testing. So let's get to the bottom line here for Sharon Hospital for people that are listening and in the area. First of all, vaccinations. Where do things stand right now with vaccinations? I know because we're on the border of Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts, there's a little bit difference in vaccinations. But where does New Vance Health and Sharon Hospital stand with this?
Well, on the Connecticut side, you know, we're still, well, we follow what the Connecticut Department of Public Health and their guidelines. And so right now we're prioritizing our vaccinations for eligible employees in Group 1A. And really, you know, the whole thing is we want to ensure stable care within the hospital for patients as the numbers keep rising. Now, the issue, you know, you don't know how many phone calls we're getting a daily from people saying, you know, that they want to get in line, they want to do this and that. Connecticut's been very well organized using the VAMS system, the Vaccine Administration Management System. And what that does is when the state of Connecticut deems that you're part of a population that is ready or eligible for vaccination, they will contact you, and then usually online, and then you go ahead and schedule. Now, we can schedule, we can follow everything that the state has in regards to opening up dates and having the schedule set up, but we are at the mercy of the state in regards to the supply and distribution of vaccines. So we may have people scheduled, but there are times that we may not have vaccine. And I think that's where the hang-up is coming. I think we've had some delays coming from either the factories or from the federal government in regards to distribution to the states. And then they, therefore, are at that mercy before they can go ahead and distribute things to us. So everything, you know, it's evolving and almost daily. We're receiving 5, 6, 7 edicts and communications from the state trying to streamline things. Now, compare this and what we're seeing on the New York side, the Connecticut side is vastly more organized. It probably is due to the numbers difference, it tends to be a little smoother. So that's where we're going, and if anything, I've noticed that we're getting very efficient in regards to the amount of people we can vaccinate on a daily basis.
Now, I'm 68, okay? So I would figure I'll probably be in either the next or the flight after that, right?
Yeah, based upon what New York did, I mean, when they opened up 1B, which would be, first it was 75 and older, and then within 2 or 3 days they dropped it down to 65 and older, you would be probably in that category. But just to let you know, it took us, counting a holiday period and all that, just to do hospital employees and care workers, patient-facing type of employees, and non-affiliated healthcare workers in the region, you know, it took us about 3 weeks about 50% of the people that were eligible received the vaccine. That's kind of our estimate right now. the states are estimating that when we get to that next level, 1B, which would be your category, it's going to take anywhere between 14 and 17 weeks to vaccinate that level of population.
Yep.
So you could see, this is going to be a very long process.
Yeah, I was talking about that a little earlier this morning and also yesterday, that expect once you're in that category, it's going to take you a long time because there's a lot of people that have to get the vaccinations, but at least you know you're on the list. But there are some states like Florida are doing it on you show up at a site and it's first come, first serve. And I don't know how that works because that's just mayhem. I think my
wife is down there now, she's telling me that it was chaos to begin because they had people waiting in line out, around the the whole neighborhood, miles long waits. Now they're actually having set appointments. But the issue with the set appointments is that they're running into what we ran into here. As soon as you open up dates, all of a sudden we went from having open dates for 2 months to completely filling all dates up through mid-March, just like that, boom, in a matter of minutes, because the demand is so high. So it's a good thing that, the word's getting out, please, accept and take the vaccine. Now, we're waiting for the state and for the federal government to really ramp up the availability of vaccines so we can all ramp up the actual administration of the vaccine.
All right, so that's the vaccination plan. Everybody should be aware of that. If you're listening, Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts, there's different dates. There's slightly differences, but basically that's the general on that. Now, let's go to testing, because there are still people that have questions about testing, whether they have to pay for testing, where they can get testing. Is testing free for everybody all the time, or are there times where you have to pay for it? So I think we should spend probably about 4 or 5 minutes talking about testing. And how New Vance Health and Sharon Hospital is handling that.
Sure. Now, in regards to Sharon, this is where I will give a plug, because we've been really trying to make sure we can get information out in a timely basis, so we're not being assailed or not assailed. We're really being inundated with multiple phone calls to our front desk, et cetera, and our operators. So if people can access our Facebook page, or online at newvancehealth.org/coronavirus, they really will have all the FAQs and information necessary to make an informed decision, one, about where to get tested, the times to be tested, et cetera, within our health system and the surrounding area, and two, how to sign up for vaccination or what the vaccination process is all about. So regarding, do you pay for it? Is it free? Is all that? I think it's another one where I think it's based upon how the tests were made available to the grouping that is testing you. Sometimes the tests have been are allocated to certain county areas, certain clinics, et cetera. And others, based upon the type of test they have, you actually may, your insurance may be charged. But mostly that I've seen, most people have not been charged, but I can't state 100% one way or the other because everybody's health system and insurance is different. So the main thing is, if you can find a way to get tested, please get tested. It's just to be on the safe side.
Now, what about people that have surgery and stuff like that? Obviously, when somebody's going to come in for surgery and that is assigned by their doctor, they probably have to get that test as part of the pre-op workup that normally would go with normal operations, right?
Yeah, we have to do it. We've set up as our goal, 72 hours prior to any procedure, you must have a negative result. So, which is different than New York, which I think goes up to 5 days. So, we've done that just because as soon as you become tested, the test result is only as good as right when you get tested. So, if you have a big delay between when you were tested and when the result came out, then the test pretty much doesn't mean anything. And that's why it was difficult when there were large delays in getting results back. So, there are different tests that are out there now. You have the spit test or the saliva test. You have the nasal swab test still. You have an antibody test to see if you actually were prior exposed. You can get that through a blood draw. There's different ways to be tested. And as we're seeing today with the U.S. government and CDC mandating anybody coming into the country has to show a negative test, they've actually have a list of all the types of tests that are available that they would accept as a negative test. So I think we're seeing more and more. Finally, we're catching up with testing. I mean, we got to the point right before Thanksgiving where we were down to our last 100 swabs and tests for the whole system because the government was backlogged and all the manufacturers backlogged. But they're catching up now, and they've ramped up.
Now, of course, if your doctor tells you to get a test, he'll go through all the things with you. But basically, when people come to get a test, what are the basic rules? What do they need to bring? And do they come into the hospital or do they wait in their car? I mean, what are the rules that you have set up there?
What we do now, what we do is we, if you want the test, you have your doctor or yourself, you can go on our website or call the hospital, and then you can actually schedule a set time to get the test done. Then instructions will be to bring in, you know, proof of identity, proof of insurance, just to be on the safe side, and then there's usually a number they give you in regards to when your exam was scheduled, and then they'll go ahead and do it. Right now, we have it as a drive-up, so we actually have a specific area in the rear part of our hospital, which is not in the hospital itself, where people can actually stop in their car, come into an atrium area. Show proof of identity and everything else, get tested, and leave. They never really enter the hospital, so that protects the people in the hospital. It protects the people coming in from possible exposure to people that may be positive in the hospital. So it really has been streamlined. We do the same thing with the vaccine, too. On the other side of the hospital, you really don't enter the hospital. You're actually in the wing of the administrative part. So we really have tried to keep these areas separate from the rest of the main caring area.
And basically, from when you get tested to when you get the results, I guess it must vary with the different types of tests that you might get, right?
It does, and then about the volume out there. Usually, you know, the perfect world, if you're the rapid test is 15 minutes. If you're getting the PCR test, which is the one which is actually more accurate, that one actually takes anywhere from 24 to probably 48 hours. At one point, it was up to almost 4 days when this all started. So we're getting better with the companies that everyone is contracting. They're ramping up their availability and their testing capability.
And I guess you would advise people to check with their insurance company so they're not shocked or unaware of whether their insurance company is going to pay for testing or not.
And that's it, because everybody's different, and there's really no one set way, shape, or form, because these do cost money, particularly the blood tests and some of the other, the PCR tests, and someone has to pay for it. It's to the point where there's so much out there in regard to the testing, I'll leave the vaccinations out of it, and all the other care that people are giving. It's difficult for a lot of health systems right now, just the blanket statement, say, hey, we'll give everything for free. Sometimes you may have a grant that allows you the funding to do that, or you may have some set goal in regards to free health care, that kind of thing. So it's our subsidized care. So every system has a different approach to how they're doing it. We're looking at partnering and setting up sites with people if the need arises. But right now, we've been able to handle it within our facility right now, the way we have it set up.
All right, we're speaking with Mark Kirko. One final question. If somebody wants to get a test at Sharon Hospital, the hours and the days you do it, and potential expected wait times.
Yeah, so I think we're doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Occasionally we'll add other days, like Tuesday, Thursday, and even Saturday, based upon if you have a prior procedure or need for a procedure, or set up, and they're 8 until noon, and then we've extended some hours 8 to 4 based upon availability and need. So please check our website and call us to ensure that, because the vaccine has been so the priorities seem that everybody's flipping over to the vaccine, so we've had to move resources to actually help with vaccinations and take a little bit away from the testing. You see, it's a balancing act right now. So, you know, different parts of the week or different weeks, we may have different hours. Please check that to confirm the time.
All right. That is Mark Kirko. Mark, once again, thank you for keeping us up to date. And we'll obviously speak to you again in the next couple of weeks. Have a good middle of the winter.
Oh, you too, and you know, again, be safe.
All right, take care, Mark. That is Dr. Mark Kirchhoff from Sharon Hospital, New Vance Health, talking about vaccination and testing from New Vance Health.